There's a word in this passage that we read this morning. You'll notice Psalm 12. It has some real challenging thoughts to it when you think about it from God's point of view. Number one, help, Lord. Lord, would you help us? So it's impossible to do these two things without the Lord's help. But I want you to notice a few things today about this one word, verse 12, chapter 12, verse 1. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. The people that are like the Lord cease. There's not many people out there that look like the Lord are in the image of Christ. And the reason that there's not a lot of godly people is because the faithful fail from among the children of men. Now, the very word faithful means to persuade. Now, let's take just a minute. So, in other words, because of your life, you persuade people that you are real. That's what faithful means. God doesn't use the term in Scripture anywhere, you need to be real. But you know what he does say? He said, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 is required in stewards or servants or my children that a man be found faithful. In other words, that you persuade people around you that you're real. And David said, help, Lord. There's no more real people. Now, we have a real dearth, and just like David in his day, Lord, where are the faithful people? The people that have persuaded me that they're real. Have you persuaded the Lord that you're real by your life? Have you persuaded your husband that you're real? Have you persuaded your wife that you're real? What do you do? We're going to get to that in a minute, but I want you to notice, number one, this the Greek word for faithfulness, pistos, is as you persuade people, you begin to do things that cause them to say, wow, they're real. Now, there's a reason the godly man ceaseth and there's no faithful on the earth. And let me give you, number one, not just the definition of faithfulness, but the damage or the dangers of faithfulness. One is laziness. We get up in the morning. I just don't want to spend a little time with the Lord this morning. I'm busy. We hit the alarm clock, roll over, wait till the last second, jump up, get dressed, go to work. At church. Now, folks, today, you cannot persuade anybody that you are real and love the Lord unless you're in his house. Do you know what he says? He says in Hebrews chapter 10, he said, there are a lot of people that they skip church. Now, what does that mean? Well, he specifically says that as a manner of some are, it has always been that people go to church, which, now keep in mind, it's command of the Lord. And then they don't. And it's a little bit of laziness that, I don't know if I want to go today. There's several things that my parents taught me growing up. One of which was always be faithful to church. So that's the reason why. Now, folks, listen to me. I don't want you to think that I'm making this up. If you have your Bible, turn me, if you would, to Hebrews 10 very quickly. I'm gonna get a few verses here, but I'm going to try to go through very quickly. You'll notice Hebrews chapter 10. Look, if you would, verse number 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. In other words, let's take our profession of faith seriously. That's when we've trusted Christ the Savior without wavering. without unfaithfulness, without one day doing right and one day not. You'll notice he says, for he is faithful that promised. In other words, you may not be faithful in your life, but God is going to be faithful. He is our example. And you'll notice he says in verse 24, keep in mind, this is all one sentence. He says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. How do you do that? How can you do that if you're on the internet, if you're live streaming? Now, live streaming is wonderful because how many of you have enjoyed live streaming from time to time? You're on vacation, you can't find a church, or you're sick, you know, you just can't make it out. How many of you enjoyed live streaming? Let me see your hand. Look at all this right here. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful tool. But it is not what God says, that's what I want you to do. It is an emergency backup plan because you can't provoke to love and good works everybody else. You can't be in church and be a blessing to other people. Folks, we're not here to just waste away. We're here to make a difference, to be faithful. Notice he says, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. What does that mean? Not skipping church. Why? Notice this, as the manner of some is. Well, it's always been there's people that just, I don't feel like it today. I'm not very comfortable today. I don't feel very good. I feel a little bit of this or that, so I'm not going to go today. Faithfulness, listen to this, is always doing what you ought to do when you ought to do it. That's faithfulness. It's always doing what you ought to do when you ought to do it. Faithful. And the psalmist said, the faithful fail upon the earth. So there's no godly people. They've ceased. So in order to be godly, you have to be faithful. It's a step before. And faithfulness causes people to look at you and you persuade them by your attitude and by your actions. They're real. Folks, you can't persuade people that you're real if you're not present. Notice, if you would, laziness causes all of us to, it hits all of us. How many of you ever felt lazy at some point in time? Be honest, raise your hand. Let me see it. Okay? That's the reason I think we look so forward to vacation, because we don't really have a lot of responsibilities and we look forward to being able to relax. It's our nature to say, I don't want to do that. But laziness will ruin us. In Proverbs, he says, look, I went by the lazy man's house and I saw his fence broken down and I saw vines growing up. You know, how many of you have trouble keeping your flower bed at your house clean? I mean, weeds grow up. You don't even have to do anything. They just grow up. Or your yard, they just grow up. I mean, how many of you ladies have to you go to Home Depot and you buy a bag of dust and you go around your house and you shake it and it goes all, it hits your ceiling fans and it goes all over your house so that you can go back and say, I dust regularly. How many of you have to do that? No. It just gets dusty naturally. And in order to be faithful, you have to go around and you have to keep working it, keeping things clean. I mean, our clothes, they don't clean themselves. There's a certain thing about faithfulness that you can't be lazy. Now, the only person that's in charge of laziness is you. Every one of us. But another danger of laziness is a lack of concern. Not only is lazy, but it didn't speak to me. I'm not that interested. You know, I want you to know this. When I went to the dentist the other day, I was certainly had a lack of interest. And I went into the office and he said, okay, you got this and this and this. I need to do this, this and this. And he says, now, will you make an appointment? I said, I'll think about it. He said, my secretary will call you. I said, do I really have to do this? Well, you know, your teeth may rot out and you have to get a root canal and it may split and have to get a root canal. So, you know, he throws out all these things and my mouth just falls apart. And so I better come back in and let him work on me. So he tries to scare me into doing what I ought to do. Do you understand that you have to have an interest in Jesus to be faithful? It's easy to get to a lack of concern. You know why? Because we're drawn away with things of this life. Oh, a lack of concern causes us to be unfaithful. We put something else in the place of the Lord. Somebody tell me this. What did the lawyer say What did Jesus say to the lawyer? The lawyer looked at him and said, hey, what's the most important law of God? And Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, body, mind, and soul. So if we don't love the Lord with all of our heart, did you know every day on my prayer list, one of my items on the prayer list is, Lord, help me to love you with all of my heart. You know why? Because lack of concern hits preachers. Oh, I don't just get, what would you think? Let me ask this group. What would you think if I said, hey, Brother Drew, where's Brother Drew? Chairman Dickens, Brother Drew, where's Brother Drew? See, oh, he's on security. He's on security. Let's see, Brother Rob down here, he's one of our deacons. And let's say I picked up the phone and I called Brother Rob and said, Brother Rob, I just think I'm not going to come today. I'm tired of going to church. Do you realize I've been going to that church for 30 years? I need a day off. What would you think? I got some looks right then that was like, wow, I don't know what I think about that. Well, you ought to think terrible about that. You ought to pray for my heart because there's a lack of concern spiritually. And that causes me to be unfaithful and then to be ungodly. And then the world looks at it and says, where are the godly men? The people that put Christ first. The faithful man is failing. And as a result, it prevents us from being godly like Christ. Notice another danger. It's the fear of failure. Well, you know, I don't know if I can be good enough to be a good Christian. I'm not like so-and-so. I could never be a deacon. I'm not good enough to be in the choir. I'm not good enough. Those ushers, I'm not good enough. So the fear of failure, the fear of someone else looking at us and say, you're not very faithful. That fear causes us not even to try sometimes. Do you realize that all of us have fears? And we're to take those to the Lord. The Lord says, I'll help you. I'll be a rock to you. But fear of failure is a danger to faithfulness. There are people that I've talked to about getting married. Girls, guys. And I say, what is your greatest fear? Well, I don't know. I don't know if I find the right person. And, I'd rather have nothing than the wrong thing. Well, that's true. But the fear of marrying the wrong person can't be the reason why you don't do the will of God if the Lord brings the right one by. But fear can paralyze every one of us. The fear of failure is a danger to faithfulness. Well, if I start reading my Bible, I'm probably not going to finish reading the whole thing through. So I don't really want to just start and quit on the Lord. So I just rather not do anything. The fear of failure. There's another one. And it's the fear of, it is the faithful people are not interested in the majority. In order to be faithful, you can't look at what everybody else is doing. because David, the psalmist says, the faithful already fail from the earth. Did you know faithfulness is a leadership goal? It's you saying, I want to be faithful to you, Lord. I want to be real. You can't look around to other people and say, where's all the faithful people? Somebody's got to step up and say, Lord, me, I want to do that. I want to be faithful. Do you understand? Joshua said it right. He said, I don't know about what everybody else is going to do, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Somebody's got to step up and say, in your house, I'm going to be faithful. And then that encourages everybody else. That's the reason he said, come to the Lord's house and encourage one another. I'm supposed to come and encourage you. You know, on Sunday morning, I try to get around and shake as many people's hands and say, well, I'm glad to see you. I'm just trying to shake people's hands because I want you to know that I'm thankful you're here. I'm trying to encourage you to be faithful. But I want you to notice, I'm only one person. How many of you, I did not shake your hand yet this morning? Raise your hand. Not young people, I didn't go to the youth group. No, raise your hand. How many did shake your hand? Let me see your hand. Raise it up. Good now. Raise it up. Okay. Good. All right. Now, you know what? I can't do it by myself. But if we have enough faithful people, we can encourage one another and provoke one another to love and good works. You have to be faithful. I have to be faithful. But somebody's got to start it. Lord, I want to be faithful. Do you want to be faithful? Psalmist says, look, I look around and I'm not persuaded that anybody's really desperately in love with the Lord. Folks, I want to change that. I want our church to change that. I want our young people to change that. I want you to change it. Young people in the youth group say, look, I desperately want to please the Lord. And I don't care if anybody knows it. I want everybody to know it. The majority does not want to please the Lord. And that sometimes, because peer pressure, we say, well, you know, I don't want to just tell everybody because they'll be looking at me. Look, Jesus is worth serving. Tell everybody you want to be faithful, but then back it up with a holy life. Back it up with faithfulness. Doing the things you ought to do. Now, one of the things you ought to do, let me give you this. One of the things you ought to do to be faithful is have a good spirit. How many of you know what it means to get on the wrong side of the bed? Did you know there is no wrong side of the bed? Did you know that? There is no wrong side of the bed. If you get up on one side of the bed or you roll over and get on the other side of the bed, it does not matter. It's up here. When you get up and you say, I'm going to have a good spirit today. I've started getting up now. I get up and I wake up. I'm laying there in bed and I say, Lord, thank you. Listen to this. I don't hurt anywhere. Lord, thank you. You know, as you get older, I hear people all the time say, wow, we're getting old. It's not for sissies. That's what I hear. It's not for deacons either. I guess there it is, leaving too. It's not getting old. I picked up the right time to walk out. That's good. I'm getting old. All right. Okay. Now, when you're getting old, you know, this thing hurts and that thing hurts. Lord, thank you. But Lord, now I got no excuse. Or sometimes I get up and say, Lord, my arm hurts or my leg hurts, my knee hurts. But Lord, that's not going to matter. I'm going to still do the right thing. Lord, I want you to know I'm going to be faithful. I'm trying to persuade the Lord. Are you trying to persuade the Lord that you love Him? So you get up in the morning and say, Lord, I'm going to have a smile today. I'm going to be cheerful today. Lord, I'm going to try to encourage somebody else to do what's right. Where are the Christians with the joy of the Lord? That is, what are the ingredients of faithfulness? I noticed, lastly, very quickly, is, you know, faithfulness requires you to make good decisions that are hard on a regular basis. Now, everybody in this room, we have hard decisions to make. Somebody doesn't treat us right, I got a hard decision. How am I going to treat them? I'm going to do them right. Something at work happens or somebody says something about us, it gets back to us. In the youth group, somebody said something about us. Now, look, folks, you're not supposed to talk about somebody else. We all know that. But if we're not careful, we'll say something without even thinking about it because it's our nature. So you have to learn to control your tongue. But when it gets around to somebody and they say, well, they shouldn't have said that about me, what is going to be your response? Lord, I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to love them. And Lord, I'm going to walk right on. And the Lord says, wow, you're faithful. But faithfulness ceased. It's failed. Why? Everybody wants to pay everybody back. You're at work. I'm going to pay that guy back. He's not going to do that to me and get away with it. And yet the Lord says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Trust me. So I look at it when you got a decision to make. You know, Lord, I'm trying to figure out, should I buy this house? Should I not? Should I get this job? Should I not? Lord, I'm going to leave this in your hands. Lord, I want to do your will. There's very few Christians that pray about what God wants them to do with buying a house or buying a car. I mean, do you know what the when you go in and you talk with a person buying a car, you're talking with the salesman as you go to buy the car, and you say, well, you know, I need to go home and pray about it. I'll never forget, I one time, 30, 41 years ago, bought a rainbow vacuum cleaner without paying for it. And it was like a noose around my neck. I could not believe I did that. And I said, Lord, from now on, I'm going to ask you first. So I go down to buy a car. I look at them and I take a look at it. And I say, oh, that's the one I want. The guy says, okay, well, if you buy it today, I'll give you this kind of a discount. I said, well, I can't buy it today. Well, look, the discount won't be here tomorrow. It doesn't matter. I got to go home and pray about it and make sure that's what the Lord wants. What? I want to make sure I don't buy something the Lord doesn't want me to have. Now, you can pray about it in advance. But my protection not to make a foolish buy. I go to a store and I see a new suit my worst thing is now I go to the grocery store. I went to the grocery store yesterday and I hate going to the grocery store now. I mean, I don't hate it, but I'm just getting used to it. So I go to the grocery store and I'm walking down the aisle and I see, wow, there's peanut butter. I've only got two jars in there. I might be run out quick. Let me get another jar. And I put it in there and then I see oatmeal. I better get another bag. And in my pantry, I've got two big tubs of peanut butter and two big things of oatmeal and two big things of honey. That's what I eat in the morning for breakfast. And then I look at it and I say, you know, I go by the steak aisle. I have to be careful going by there because I really like steak. So I go by there and I say, you know, I don't know. Boy, that sure looks like a good one. And I'll just put it in the bag. And so I you know, Lord, have you ever thought about praying about what you eat? Lord, help us. The faithful fail. Lord, I want everything in my life to be pleasing to you. Have you persuaded the Lord that he is first in your life? That's being faithful. And one of the dangers to it is we don't make difficult decisions well. We don't take our difficult decisions before the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, I need your wisdom in this. Didn't you know God always helps with you making the right decisions if you pray about it and leave it up to him? He will walk with you in every difficult. There's no temptation taking you. When you've got a temptation to do right or wrong, there's no temptation taking you. But God is faithful. He's faithful. Will we be faithful? Did you know he is very faithful to us? Now, those are the dangers, but I want you to notice there's a lot of damage that unfaithfulness brings. When you see someone that is supposed to be faithful, trusted, and they become unfaithful, it does a lot of damage. Take your Bible and turn to Ecclesiastes very quickly. Ecclesiastes. But you notice this verse. Notice with me if you would. Verse 1. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So he's trying to make a very sweet smell, and a couple dead flies get into his ointment, and it messes up the smell. It makes it stink. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. So a guy's built up a reputation as he is faithful. But then he goes out and does a few foolish things. Folly. One little thing. He lets a word slip. He tells something he ought not to tell. He talks about somebody. He is unfaithful. And it's just a little fly. Do you know how little a fly is in this world? But it messes up your testimony. So you do a lot of damage. Your children look at you and say, I want to be like my mom and dad, but not that way. You know, I was very encouraged the other day. Growing up, I was a youth pastor. This goes to a test that Scott's a much better youth pastor than I ever was. I would ask the young people, how many of you want to have a marriage or home like your parents? And it was never more than 10%. And that killed me. It was one of the motivating factors for Susan and I. We did not want that for our home. And Brother Scott and, sort of did some sort of a poll of some sort. And it was, do you remember the number, what it was? About 50%. Well, now we can look at that and say, wow! 50% of all the families, the kids look at it and say, I'd be like to have a home like that. But what about the 50 unfaithful percent. The Lord needs you. He needs you to take your marriage seriously and say, I'm going to persuade my children that I love my wife, that I love my children, that I love my God, that I love my husband. I'm going to persuade them. How? I'm going to be faithful. You know, now I knew my mother loved the Lord because every morning I'd get up, or whenever I'd go home from college, it didn't matter. When I was married and home, took Jeremy back home, when he went home for Christmas, I could go to my mother's. She had a lazy boy that was there, had a little button, and it kicked your feet out. And I saw her Bible there and her devotional book every time I went there. And I could see her marking in her Bible. I could see her marking that little booklet. I could hear my mother pray when I'd go out on, I'd be going down to see Susan, and I'd come back in. I'd go over to her house, and I'd come back at night. I'd get in at 10:30, 11 o'clock, or whatever time it was. And I could hear my mother in my bedroom, in her bedroom. I could hear the mumblings of her praying for me. She was faithful. Always faithful. She always did the right thing at the right time. Lord, I want to be like that. Are you a testimony? It only takes a little bit to do great damage. Folks, what would you think of me if I the offering was taking place? Is Nick here? Nick or Vince Nikita? Vince, you're an usher, right? Okay, what if Vince is in the back there, and we've just taken up the offering, and they take the offering, they put it in a bag and lock it and take it and put it in the safe or put it in the safe room. And so we have very strict guidelines for that. But what happens if they were doing that, and I slipped out and I said, you know what, I got to get some gas today. And I slipped out, and I went around the back, and Vince has got the offering plate, and there was a $20 bill in there. And I said, hey, Vince, I need that $20 bill. And I just took it and put it in my pocket. What would you think about that, Vince? Not good, Pastor. But it's only 20 bucks. What difference does that make? It's a little fly. And it ruins your testimony. And so whenever you get mad at your mate and you've been good to them for a long time and then all of a sudden you just let it go, it's a little fly. Young people, you obey your parents in the Lord, but then there's something they say, go do your homework, go do this. And inside you're boiling. It's a little fly. But you can't be faithful and do that. Where are the faithful? The ones that love the Lord more than all. Where are the faithful? God's looking for us today to be faithful. Now, I noticed that there are ways to be faithful. Number one is you decide in your heart, take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And you're going to see just real quickly here, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I want you to notice what he says here. Look at this. This is the way to be faithful. Notice verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all. So when you're in a race, everybody runs together. But one receiveth the prize. The race of life is different. So run that you may obtain. So the first off, you have to have the desire to be faithful. Everybody in this room, you've got to say, look, I want to be faithful. Lord, please help me. I want to be faithful. Help. The psalmist said, help, Lord. The faithful fail. So if we're a little bit unfaithful in some area of our life, Lord, help me. I want the desire to be faithful, to always do what I should do when I ought to do it. And notice the next one. And every man that striveth for the mastery, you got to work at it. You got to get up in the morning and pray and read your Bible and talk to the Lord. Look, you can't do a good job at work if you're not prepared. If you don't look at the manuals, if you're an IT guy or whatever you have to do, you have to know the right way to do things. Well, you notice he says, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate. You have to discipline yourself. There's a personal discipline that's involved. Probably one of the greatest disciplines of most people's lives is eating right in their weight. Exercise. Because it doesn't matter what everybody else sees. You know, I'm not going to ask, how many of you would like to lose 5 pounds? Don't raise your hand. And you'd see hands all over. I'd like to lose 5 pounds, 10. I'd like to lose 10 pounds. But you know, he said, if you're temperate in all things, now let's take, I'd like to get rid of that one fly. I'd like to get rid of 2 flies that I know about. There's 2 flies. I'd like to get rid of them both. One's temper. One is I get a little bitter. Or one is I get a little lazy. Or one is, you know, I'm sort of a lack of concern. Or one is nobody else is doing this, so why should I do it? So I want to fix that in my heart that, Lord, I want to win. Notice what he says. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temple in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. You know the difference? The corruptible crown gets lost, gets packed away. How many of you have some trophies or ribbons packed away that you haven't looked at in years? Raise your hand. Raise it up. Look at this. That's an incorruptible crown. But when you step foot inside heaven and you've been faithful, God says, I have an incorruptible crown, the crown of life, the crown of righteousness. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that are faithful. Today, could I ask you this question? What are your goals to please the Lord? One, I want to be temperate. I got to get rid of the flies. What flies are in your life that you know? Folks, look at your own life and say, I don't want any flies in my life. But you're the only one that can take them out. And then, Lord, I want to please you. Lord, I want to strive to be all the Christian that I can be. I want to be faithful. And then don't listen to yourself when you get up in the morning and say, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that. Have your devotions regularly. Come to church regularly. Be faithful. Be a blessing to other people. Have the right attitude. Notice, if you would, in verse number 26, so therefore I run, not as uncertainly. Most unfaithful people run uncertainly. I'm going to do this today. I got to go to work today. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got things at the house I got to do. They don't put the Lord first. Today, be faithful. Can I challenge you to be faithful? You got big decisions to make? Don't be a Peter. Well, if they're going to challenge me, they're going to tell me I'm not, you know, I'm a part of Christians. I'm going to tell them I'm not. I'm going to curse and swear, and then they'll know it. And so I can be in with a group. And he did. But Jesus caught his eye, and he wept bitterly. Now, Peter had several flies. But did you know what God asked him to do at the very end of the scripture? Peter, would you write 1 and 2 Peter for me? His whole life changed. He became faithful. Faithful. Folks, today, Christ is worthy of your faithfulness. And when you step foot in heaven, I can promise everybody in this room will say, oh, I should have been more faithful, more consistent. I should have been more persuasive in the way I do things, my spirit, my attitude. I should have persuaded people that I love Christ. Today, are you faithful? You can never be godly unless you're faithful first. It's sort of like a set of stairs. You can't get to the top unless you take each step one at a time. And faithfulness is required to be godly. Today, are you faithful? Let's bow our heads forward in prayer this morning. Have you persuaded the Lord? We're going to take page 635. We're going to have a word of prayer, and we're going to stand to sing. If you need to come this morning, I have decided to follow Jesus. As part of it, I've made a decision. Have you decided to be faithful? Have you made up your mind? Have you decided to get rid of all the flies in your life? Have you decided, look, Lord, I want to be faithful. Have you decided I want my children and grandchildren to respect me because I'm real? Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts today as only you can. In your name I pray. Amen.